Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Hey, it's Ben.
And it's Ashley. And we want to let you know that choking is the fourth leading cause of accidental deaths.
LifeVac is the easiest, safest, and only non-invasive choking rescue device that can save the life of your loved one. Visit LifeVac.net and enter promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS to save 20% and secure your home kit today. That's LifeVac.net and enter promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS. Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Almost Famous Podcast. It is Ashley. And today, Ben isn't here for this episode because we're going to have a very women-forward episode because Whitney Bischoff is here, who was on my season, the quote, winner of my season. And I haven't seen her for years, but I'm so glad to see your face. Hello, Whitney. How are you
Hello.
Doing?
Hello. Good. It's like girl chats. Like bringing me back to the mansion when it's like we're having these girl chats. Love it.
Love girl chats. You had a lot of girl chats about fertility in the house because
yes.
That is what you're an expert at. You're a fertility nurse.
Yes.
And then lo and behold, you had to go through quite a fertility journey of your own.
Yes.
So we're just going to like jump into the thick
of it. Let's just jump into it.
Yeah, because you're here because you were pregnant, but you never posted about it on social media.
I didn't.
And all of a sudden you're like, surprise, 9 months later, I have a baby.
But
it was something to get her into this world.
Yes,
so
it was.
You and your husband, Ricky, you got married like what, 5 years ago? 5, 6 years ago?
Almost going on 6. Yeah, it'll be 6 this year. I cannot believe it. I mean, it's been almost a decade since we were on the show. Or me, at least. I mean, I know you've made appearances.
Oh, well, sure. Yeah. But 9 years from that original show, which I hold so much nostalgia for. I can't believe it's been 9 years.
I can't either. Where has the time gone?
I don't know. It's so scary. And, you know, when you have kids, it goes by even faster.
Yes.
You had your son. You had your son, Hayes.
Yes. So he's
soon after getting married, right?
Yeah. So he's like about four and a half.
Okay,
yeah.
4 and a half.
So we were married about a year exactly when he joined us, and he is just such a peach. He's the best. I mean, little boys are the best, right?
They are quite something. And you know, I have talked about how I had quote gender disappointment. Made some headlines a few weeks ago, which was the most dramatic thing ever. I'm like, you guys, let's be clear here.
Yeah.
When we tell people we're pregnant and we don't know what the gender is or sex is yet, people say, what do you want?
Right.
Like, you usually have an opinion, right?
Well, so absolutely. Then, and you've got a sister. That's same with me. Like,
exactly.
It was just my sister and I. That's all we know. So I get that.
I know. Yes. I wanted to have, you know, and my initial thought was that I'd wanted to have sisters, the exact same thing that I grew up with, because I'm so, so close to her. But then, you know, you find out it's a boy. And yes, maybe you're like, oh man, I don't know how to deal with boys. And exactly. Is a boy going to want to go to boy band concerts and like play with American Girl dolls? I don't know.
Maybe, but I totally get that. When you said that, I relate it. It doesn't mean that you are not happy with your son or anything like that. I mean, oh my gosh, I love being a boy mom. It's so much fun. Too. It's just not knowing what to expect when you've grown up with all girls.
Yeah. And I didn't even know, like now I can't even picture having a girl, which is weird. Like, yes, I'd like a girl, but I also would be totally happy with a boy. It's so wild how much it does not matter when the kid is here.
The love between a mom and a son too is just, there's nothing compares to it. It's really awesome.
Yeah, it's so, so nice. All right, so you with your son, conceiving with your son, let's get into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, so let's get into it. So
when you conceive with your son, how long did it take to conceive, if you don't mind me asking? It took us 7 months.
Yeah, I mean, I think it took about 6 months, somewhere around there. But as a fertility nurse and just as being Whitney, I am such a planner, so type A. Like, you know, I had my whole, you know, future written out for me in terms of I'm going to get pregnant at this age and then I'm going to get pregnant again at this age. And this is the way it's all going to go. And that's a joke because you can't plan anything. So after a couple months when it didn't work, even knowing that that's very normal, that it can take a little bit of time being a fertility nurse and kind of specializing in this field, I was, you know, beside myself, like, why hasn't it worked? What's going on? I'm doing all of this testing on myself to like check my fertility and talking with, you know, the experts that I work with. And, you know, I actually did sit down with the physician, Dr. Kaplan, that I work with, and just said, hey, should I tap into my previously frozen eggs? Because as everyone knows, I froze my eggs, gosh, I don't even know, like 13, 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. So the question that he posed to me, which I thought was really smart, was, well, how many children do you want to have? Do you want to have more than one? I was like, absolutely. He's like, well, you're going to just continue to get older. Those eggs are going to stay on ice, you know, at the same quality that they were when they were frozen, which I was young. I was 27 when I did it. So he's like, just be patient. So I had to take my, you know, own advice that I give to patients, like, it takes some time, you know, takes sometimes some persistence. It doesn't mean that anything's kind of going on. You know, if you're less than 35, it can sometimes take up to a year. So we just kind of stuck with it and finally conceived. I think it was about 6 months. So somewhere around, you know, like with you, said it took seven.
Me, yeah, I think this is important to talk about because I've been open about it taking 7 months.
Yeah.
Lots of girls get into my DMs and they're like, hey, it's been 3 or 4 months. I'm starting to freak out. How'd you stay calm? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, for me, yes. When we got to the 5 month mark, I was like, me, my body? Mm-hmm. Because I always thought, like, everybody was like, oh, this is so stupid. This honestly is stupid, but I'm going to say what people would tell me. Okay. They'd be like, your body shape is like, you're like you're so fertile, right?
What?
And you can just, you like have birthing hips. Like, you just look like, isn't that funny?
That's bizarre is what that
is. So I always like grew up just being like, oh, I've got regular periods and birthing hips, I should be totally fertile. 5 months, that's not like whatever. So then at 6 months, I hadn't had like an annual gyno appointment in like 2 or 3 years, so I was just like, I'll go to the gyno, see what she says about this. And she was like, I was 32 when we conceived, and she was like, I was 33, holy shit. Okay, so she was like, you're fine. I wouldn't think, for like looking at like all your info here, that we would need to worry at all or like think about taking other steps until we're a full year of trying. Right. Do you agree? Full year of trying at 33?
At 33, yeah. I would say if you're older than 35, 6 months.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And that is because?
Because your fertility is declining. So, and, you know, at 35, we see a higher jump in decline. So it's always declining from the moment we're born, fertility is declining. Yeah. But, you know, at 35, we see more of a steeper decline. So that's why people say don't wait after, you know, a full year after 35, kind of jump on it around that 6 month mark.
Okay, cool. So then you conceived at 6 months, you're like happy. And then
I'm happy. Happens? You know, I had a really easy pregnancy, easy birth. It was just amazing. And we were ready again to try for baby number two. But something I actually haven't talked about at all, so you're hearing it here first, is I got really sick after Hayes was born. I started having some really weird chest pain and was going to the doctor about it. And I was just kind of shelved. You know, I was a young woman complaining of chest pain. So what's the first thing they told me? It's anxiety. It's stress. And I am a high, strung, anxious person. So I believed it. But it continued. This chest pain continued to occur for about a year. And it was getting progressively worse. And we were vacationing in Cape Cod, and I ended up in the ICU having to have emergency heart surgery because I had gone into cardiac tamponade because I had 3.5 cups of fluid around my heart. So that postponed our trying to get pregnant. So that then was a long healing process. I was seen at Mayo. It was such a mess. So hear it for like, be an advocate for yourself, especially as a woman, because I knew something was wrong and I just kept being shelved, you know, like it's, you're fine, you know, you're fine, until it almost cost me my life. I mean, so because of that, and because I obviously needed to get that under control and I was put on tons of medication that were not conducive with pregnancy, I was not able to attempt to get pregnant. I was told, you can't, we've got to get this under control. Your heart's under way too much stress. And being pregnant, I mean, your heart is pumping for two, right? Your blood volume increases. So they were saying, you know, we don't even know if you'll ever be able to have another baby. So,
oh my gosh, that must have been crushing.
Oh, you cannot even imagine. It was such a grieving process. And then thinking maybe we're going to have to go the surrogate route.
Yeah.
So I was not even sure that another child was in the future for us. But I, by the grace of God and the physicians that I worked with and the experts and cardiologists, got this. So it ended up being viral pericarditis, which was attacking my heart. So once that finally got under control, it took about another year, I got the go ahead to attempt
pregnancy.
Holy
moly. So is this like a 2-year process all in all?
Yes. So at this point, I'm considered geriatric for pregnancy.
I know.
And I know too, the entire time, the stress that I was under of just dealing with the heart stuff and the scare with that, but then knowing I'm getting older, my clock is ticking. And I did have those eggs, which was, I was so thankful for, because when you freeze your eggs, I feel like you think it's a backup plan. I'm never going to need those, you know, but I did. So we ended up tapping into those eggs.
Okay. Let's talk about egg freezing for a second. A lot of people think that it's like a guarantee, but isn't it less likely that like the eggs are going to unfreeze, defrost, and you'll lose a good amount. But it's actually more not guaranteed, but closer to it if they're embryos. Defrosting embryos is more successful often than defrosting eggs.
Yeah. So I think this is really interesting because, yes, I mean, embryos are always going to be more stable than eggs because it's all of the chromosomes that you need to make a baby, whereas an egg's only half of the equation. So I always say, like, if you're an embryo, you're walking steadily on 2 feet, whereas if you're an egg, you're kind of limping on one. So you're more easily damaged, easily messed with.
Okay.
But depending on the laboratory and the experts that you are going to, you know, in terms of their experience with egg freezing, some of those rates can be essentially, you know, the same. So in some places, like, you know, at OVA, our success rates are about, I would say, probably 5 to 10% different. So for some women, to me, if you're a single woman, that's not that big of a difference to then decide to get a sperm donor and freeze an embryo versus freezing an egg. But yes, they will always be a little bit more successful with embryos versus eggs. But now with the increase in technology and experience that a lot of people have, it's not as large as it once was.
What keeps baby skin healthy? a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that, so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you.
Want to know where all the spring savings are this year? Ross. You'll find huge deals on all the latest spring trends.
At Ross, you'll find brand names for 20 to 60% off department store prices. You're definitely finding your next favorite outfit.
We're talking about savings on your favorite shirts and tops, and I mean every style for spring.
There's something for the guys too, with deals on brand name shirts.
And you can get outside this spring with savings on outdoor tableware.
Seriously, just visit your nearest Ross and see for yourself. If you really love savings, head to Ross today.
So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at Ross. You wake up with a scratchy throat, congestion, runny nose, and cough. You know your body. You know you're getting sick. Your choices are tough it out, get sick, take some time out from work, hope the doctor can see you this month, or wait 2 hours at urgent care. Then you can sit in a room full of sick people. Or you can open your medical emergency kit, match your symptoms to the doctor's recommendation prescription.
It comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues. It has strong antibiotics for infections of all types, plus a doctor's easy guide so you'll know exactly what to take and when. No waiting to see the doctor, no waiting at the pharmacy. It's all in here. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes. Your kit will be rushed to your door, and you get 15% off at twc.health/famous.
You can use the promo code FAMOUS. That's promo code FAMOUS at twc.health/famous. So you tap into your eggs for this. Did you try it all to do it naturally for six months?
Oh, no, 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 no. At that point, I was like, we are ready to, and not kind of knowing what was going to be going on with my health, we started with the thawing when I was going through the treatment process of fertilizing the eggs for my heart. So we went through that whole process. We got our embryos. And then when I got the clear to move forward, we started prepping to transfer the embryos.
Okay.
And that was the start of a very long journey. So
let us in.
Yeah. So I went through an embryo. Well, I started to prep for a couple embryo transfers that were canceled. So it's, you know, I was taking these medications and going in, you know, to prep for this transfer, but my lining was not thickening appropriately. So, you know, you want the atmosphere of the uterus to be completely perfect to transfer this embryo. So if it's not, there is always that chance that the cycle could be canceled. And so that happened to me twice before I ever made it to a transfer. We did finally make it to transfer, and it unfortunately was not successful. And then in the between kind of months, a couple times we were trying naturally, And I kept getting pregnant naturally and having very early miscarriages.
I'm so sorry.
It was just one thing after another. And then about a year ago, I had an ectopic pregnancy.
Oh.
So that was scary too. You know,
for those who don't know, an ectopic pregnancy means that the egg implanted into her fallopian tube.
My fallopian tube, yeah.
And so this was extremely painful.
Yeah, so we caught it early, which was good. But I think also about that too, I just knew to ask the right questions because I'm in the field. I think about so many women that may not have known to ask the questions, again, to advocate for themselves, that it could have been much different. So that was a long journey too, because then you have to postpone again for 3 months because I got a medication that takes care of the pregnancy that's in your tube, because obviously it's life-threatening to the mother to continue to let it grow and the pregnancy is not going to be viable. But with that medication, and that was the decision that we chose, or the route we chose to go, because I didn't want to risk losing my fallopian tube in a surgery.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do they even save a fallopian tube if there's been an implanted embryo?
So sometimes they can go in and just remove what's inside of the tube and they can spare the tube, but there's always risk to scar tissue in the tube and that the tube's no longer going to work. And that to me was, you know, I didn't want to take that risk. So I did go the medication route, but then that meant, again, we had to postpone trying for 3 months. So all in all, it was, I think, a full year. And we were prepping again. I was planning to go in to prep for another transfer, and I got a positive pregnancy test. So
naturally. Ah, yeah.
Yes. So we didn't end up using, I mean, the Brady, my daughter, is not from my eggs, but we have, you know, beautiful
She's
embryos.
Not from your frozen eggs.
Yes, sorry. Yes, she was a natural conception versus everything we went through, and then it was a natural conception. Yeah.
Which I feel like happens a lot. Do you think it's because, like, moms kind of relax at a certain point if the IVF process is, like, kind of coming along, and then they're like,
it plays
oh,
a
okay,
role.
Well, I have that plan, and then I have this plan, which is natural, and they say it's probably not going to happen. And then when you start to be like, okay, it's probably not going to happen naturally, that, like,
I think you just kind of chill? You know, it's hard to quantify how stress impacts, but I do think it plays a role, because you do hear of that where people go through years and years of treatment and then all of a sudden, oops, they become pregnant. I don't want anyone listening to this to think that that's the norm, but you do hear of that. So I do think that, you know, stress could play a role. I mean, who knows in my case, but oh gosh, it was such a welcome surprise. But then for the next 9 months, or, you know, especially early on, I was so worried about another loss.
Yes.
Because we had gone through it so much. I felt like I just, every time I went to the bathroom, I was like, is there going to be blood? You know, is there, you know, it just was day after day, just the anxiety. I was just riddled with anxiety.
Do you have any tips for girls out there who... Well, do you have any tips of just like conceiving in general? Because, you know, people are like, oh, certain lubes, like certain like times of day. Like everybody seems to like have an idea or a theory.
I mean, obviously you have to be ovulating to get pregnant. I know that that sounds obvious, but that would be, you know, my first suggestion if you've been trying to get pregnant and you're not successful, is to ensure that you are ovulating. You can do that with your doctor. Or you can get some ovulation predictor kits from the drugstore. But the best way to get pregnant would be to have sperm waiting for the egg once you ovulate. So I think a lot of people think, oh, okay, I'll ovulate and then I'll have sex, or, you know, but really you should be doing it leading up to that. So that when the egg is released, there's sperm waiting in the tube, and the sperm can live in the tube for like 3 to 5 days. Now, whereas the egg is only going to live for about 24 hours. So that's why it's nice to have that sperm waiting for the egg.
From the time that the egg is released from the ovary to it like passing through the fallopian tube completely, that's 24 hours?
No, it survives for 24 hours. So, you know, it's it takes longer for it to go all the way down the tube and into the uterus, but it's only going to be viable for about 24 hours. Whereas the sperm can be viable for 3 to 5 days, just hanging out in the tube.
So its journey through the tube is longer than 24 hours.
Yeah. Before it makes its way all the way down and then into the uterus and implant. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So the sperm's meeting it very close to the ovary release. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, see, you know, I'm still learning. Because I thought like it was like kind of viable like within the tube process, but that's stupid. Wow. I probably knew this a couple years ago when I was deep in my reading, but now I'm like...
I mean, what's going on with you? Are you going to plan for...
That's why I asked these questions too. And I really wanted to have you on because we're starting to quote try in 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks, which is like hilarious. Hi, so audience. Exact. Like, you know so much about me and my cycle. so awkward. Funny. But yeah, so there's that. And then me being 35 now, and I know very much that it is a geriatric advanced pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So crazy if it were to happen. Like, so 6 months is when you start advise people to start talking about IVF at this point.
To a specialist, not necessarily going straight to IVF, but talking with a specialist in reproductive medicine just to go through your options and kind of do some testing to see if there's something going on.
So how do you tell like women who are just like nervous at a couple of months, how do you tell them to just chill?
I wish there was like some magic advice that I had. I mean, you know what? If you're super anxious though, and for the peace of mind, if it's going to help you to go talk to someone, no one's saying you can't go see someone earlier than 6 months, you know, but it's from an insurance kind of standpoint. A lot of times insurance companies, which is, don't even get me started on that. I hate dealing with insurance companies. It's awful, but they look at infertility as if you're older than 35 and you've been trying for 6 months and without success, then they label you infertile. And that's when they'll start covering sometimes a lot of treatment. Now, how they really know it's, you know, but I think for your own peace of mind, if you're stressed at 2 months in, go talk to your doctor. Maybe you can get a referral and, you know, just starting out and doing the diagnostic testing, a lot of times it's covered.
So insurance companies will label you infertile. So what does that mean? That they won't cover anything?
So a lot of times treatment is covered once you have an infertility diagnosis, but you have have that diagnosis. So, and it depends on the state that you live in and your plan and all of that. But what does an infertility diagnosis mean? So if you're over than 35 and you've been trying for 6 months without success, that's an infertility diagnosis. If you're younger than 35 and you've been trying for 1 year, you get that diagnosis.
Okay. Very interesting. Because what would you consider like, because people have like reached out to me and I'm like, I know that we didn't struggle to conceive because it was 7 months. But like that word, I'm like, well, that's rude. I did not. What would you consider struggle at a year?
I mean, I think that that is individualized for some people, you know, maybe it was, you know, taxing on them for 7 months. You know, it may not be that they have that infertility diagnosis, but that's not to say that it wasn't a struggle for you. Uh-huh. So I think that's a hard thing to say. Like, maybe it wasn't a struggle. Maybe you enjoyed it. Who knows?
Didn't enjoy.
I know. It starts to become...
It's a chore.
It is a chore.
To be honest, and I'm not speaking on behalf of Jared as well. It's like a little different.
It is. And I think that it's tough too when people are like, just have fun with it. I'm like, there's nothing fun about this. And I think that my husband would say that as well. It just is not... Yeah, it's not fun.
Some people have told me to just have sex every single day. Every single day.
And I go, that is no way.
I know. I've heard crazy people say that. Like,
Every day? I've heard Jared be like, no, I can't do that every
day. Absolutely not. And plus, like, then, is this true? That your sperm quality, like the number, the count is going down if you do it every day?
It will if you're doing it every day. Yeah. I typically say like abstinence for 3 to 5 days.
Okay, interesting. And then I heard from, I'll just say, it is a bachelor alum one time told me, do it 5 times each day during the ovulation window.
Who told you that?
I can't out them. It was a man.
Of course it was a man. Of course it was a man.
He literally said, woke up and we did it before I went to work. And then I'd come home throughout. It was like the nuttiest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It doesn't even make sense. I mean, the sperm's going to wait for 3 to 5 days. So why are you, you know,
I don't know.
And wait 3 days or every other, at least, I mean, I would say at most every other day.
Okay. Oh, interesting. At most every other day.
Yes.
Wow.
Because if the sperm count's normal, I mean, if there's something going on with the sperm, then that's a different issue. I think a lot of times women put the blame on them when there's something going on. But, you know, oftentimes it can be
30% of the time here that it's the guy.
Yeah.
And when do you check sperm count? About the 6 month mark as well?
Yeah. So the workup would be for male and female. Once you go see the reproductive endocrinologist, it's for male and female. So they do, you know, the analysis, and then they also look at hormones and things like that for the woman.
All right. Well, how have you been since having Brady, your daughter Brady? How'd you come up with the name? Because that's Dawson's middle name after, you know, of course, Tom Brady.
We've just always liked that name. And we thought about if it was a boy or a girl, we'd probably, like, I like unisex names, so we'd probably just name him or her Brady. I thought it was unique, and I liked it for a girl even more than I like it for a boy, no offense. But I just think it's like kind of, you know, I like the unisex names.
Yeah, yeah, that's very cute.
Yeah.
Hayes is also, I guess, can be either way.
It could be, yeah.
It could be, yeah.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that's just speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you.
Want to know where all the spring savings are this year? Ross. You'll find huge deals on all the latest spring trends.
At Ross, you'll find brand names for 20 to 60% off department store prices. You're definitely finding your next favorite outfit.
We're talking about savings on your favorite shirts and tops, and I mean every style for spring.
There's something for the guys, too, with deals on brand name shirts.
And you can get outside this spring with savings on outdoor tableware.
Seriously, just visit your nearest Ross and see for yourself. If you really love savings, head to Ross today.
So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at Ross. You wake up with a scratchy throat, congestion, runny nose, and cough. You know your body. You know you're getting sick. Your choices are tough it out, get sick, take some time off from work, hope the doctor can see you this month, or wait 2 hours at urgent care. Then you can sit in a room full of sick people. Or you can open your medical emergency kit, match your symptoms to the doctor's recommendation prescription.
It comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues. It has strong antibiotics for infections of all types, plus a doctor's easy guide so you'll know exactly what to take and when. No waiting to see the doctor, no waiting at the pharmacy. It's all in here. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes. Your kit will be rushed to your door, and you get 15% off at twc.health/famous.
You can use the promo code FAMOUS. That's promo code FAMOUS at twc.health/famous.
Yeah. So how have you been, like, postpartum
exhausted
and all that? Yeah.
I mean, we were scheduled, you know, to come on, oh gosh, when was it? A couple weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
And yeah. I had to cancel, and I'm so it's sorry. Okay. I just was.
It's not a big deal. So I get it more than anyone, you know?
Oh my gosh. I was like, I would not be able to function.
I get it like a lot of other women. Yeah.
I would not be able to even think straight. So we're in the thick of it, but just, you know, it's kind of just part of it, right? It's a rite of passage. And I just try to soak up every little minute with her, even if she's screaming her head off.
How's she been as a baby?
She's really gassy. And
I laugh, but that's bad situation. I get it.
Oh my God. Like, I was chatting with Ricky last night. I'm like, was Hayes like this? And we both looked at each other and we're like, I don't remember. I don't know if we just blocked it from our memory, but It's almost like we're new parents all over again because it was so long. You know, That was 4.5 years ago. So yeah. I can't remember if he was, you know, as gassy and refluxy, but she's just so uncomfortable, baby girl. I cannot figure out like how to help her. I don't know. Was Dawson like that at all?
Not really, but I do remember the one moment that, like, I guess you'll probably always remember is the moment that he's crying and you don't know how to fix it.
Oh,
and it
God.
Wasn't even that big, but like, usually it was like, oh, as a newborn, you need to either burp them, he needs a diaper change, or he's hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the one time where it was like, I don't know what, it's not the three of those things, so what can we do? Yeah. There's a book called Mama Sutra that's all about getting gas out of babies.
Okay, I've got to get that.
Yeah.
Because
I know the author, she sent it to me before, but we never really needed to use it because he never really had like trapped gas much.
Yes. So we've done like the gas drops, there's this thing by Frida Baby.
Yes, the Frida Windy. Baby, the exact, yeah, where you like, yeah.
We put did it that up the other butt. Night. That Widley. Was an experience. Yeah. The Windy, yeah. Yes.
It didn't, yeah.
That was interesting.
So yeah, the age gap with you probably able to get Hayes to help you a little bit. He's very understanding probably. How's that?
Yeah, you know, I got to be completely honest. I was sad about the age gap at the beginning. I really wanted my kids to be closer together in age. My sister and I are about 6 years apart. And I always felt a little bit like I was an only child growing up. I was in sixth grade when she went away to college.
Yeah.
And I mean, my sister and I are close, but I look at you and your sister. It's almost like, how close? I mean, you guys are just
two and a half, but that's what I want to. And that's why I'll get stressed this next time if it doesn't happen quickly, because us starting in 2 weeks is me starting at 2.5 years with the, you know?
And I was like that too. Again, going back to that planning. And then it was completely out of my control. So I stressed about that, even though there was nothing I could do about it. I was just really hoping that they would be closer in age, because in my mind, I'm like, the closer in age they are, the closer in relationship they'll be.
I know.
But I've got to say, everything kind of, you know, works out, because it is very helpful. The fact that Hayes knows what's going on. He is super excited. He is such a big, you know, helper. And I think that it would be difficult having them closer in age, especially with Brady being more of a fussy baby. That would be difficult to also have a younger toddler.
For sure. That's my fear. I mean, I want to get pregnant soon so that they can be that 2.5-ish years apart. Mm-hmm. But I also like, I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you do it? I'm just mind boggled, but so many people do it.
So,
2.5, 3 years seems to be like such a common age gap.
It is.
And I see women who I was pregnant like alongside with the first time, and they've already delivered a second.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like,
oh yeah.
How are you doing this? I've talked to Raven. Raven and I had a nice mom chat a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. How is she doing?
She's stressed.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, sometimes you wonder. I mean, I remember when I was in labor with Hayes, looking at one of the nurses and being like, why do people do this more than once? And the nurse was like, because you forget, and they're so cute. And it's so right, because you do block kind of that bad stuff from your memory. Yeah. And you just, thank goodness kids are cute, because it's difficult.
I know. People tell me all the time when I tell them I had like hyperemesis during my pregnancy, they're like, how are you doing it again? And I go, because I got so mad at people when they would tell me I would forget. I was like, you mother effers, I am not going to forget this. Mm-hmm. And I kind of have. When I get nauseous every once in a while, if you just have like a weird nauseous day, who knows what reason, then it comes back and I'm like, I don't know if I could ever do this again.
Yeah.
But like, so other than that,
did any medications help you?
Zofran really helped because my doctor father didn't want me to take it until like 12 to 13 weeks.
I was going to say second trimester. Yeah.
Yeah. They say that you could start taking it around 10. Every doctor has a different opinion on when Zofran's okay. I will probably take it earlier this time, especially since I'll just be like, my life is more demanding with Dawson and I just can't just be like, all right, well, today is a total couch day. Like, I haven't had a total couch day since Dawson was born, really.
Right. So if you've had it, I don't know enough about it. If you've had it with your first pregnancy.
93%. You have it again.
Wow.
Yes. And my biggest issue was that I was actually able to keep food down. I lost a little weight the first trimester from throwing up so much. But food was 70% maybe held down. Because I throw probably like 2 to 3 times a day, and that, but like for 7 months. The thing was, it was the length of it. Because I threw up 7 months. If I didn't have my Zofran, I would throw up. And then the Zofran makes you incredibly constipated. So I would try not to, because I was telling, Ben a couple days ago, because we're talking about how on Bachelor in Paradise, they're talking about constipation.
Did you get constipated there?
No, yeah, people do. I was fine there. Like, Jade went 8 days without pooping there.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, which there people are going to be like, Ashley, Ben, why do you talk about this so much? But yes, she went 8 days there, but I had gone 8 days with Zofran in pregnancy.
There's no way.
Yeah. So,
I mean, weren't you so stuffy?
Like, yes, but it wasn't, there was this one moment on the toilet, just really only one, where I was like, this has got to be worse than giving birth. And to be quite honest, it was worse than giving birth.
Was it?
You know, well, I had an epidural like the second I got in the delivery room. So I don't know how it would go naturally. I mean, unmedicatedly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was bad. It was very bad. So I tried not to take the Zofran, as if there was a day where I was like, I'm not feeling great, but like, I think I could get through the day. You know, I would try as long as I could. But then Miralax was also fantastic once I discovered that. And anyway, my problem, long-winded answer, but my problem was drinking. So like any sort of sip of anything would make me run to the bathroom immediately. So I was on an IV for like 16 weeks.
What? So was your dad able to hook you up to those?
It was my dad, yeah. So I was able to stay. Again, like another thing that really scares me about this pregnancy with Dawson, obviously, we can't live in my parents' house for 16 weeks. Like, because Jared is not going to fly. Like, Jared's not going to stay there for 16 weeks. He can't because of work. So,
yeah.
So I was luckily hooked up at home. My gyno was able to provide us with all the IV bags. My dad would do it from the couch, which is really
nice. That is so nice. I actually saw your chat with your dad.
The epidural one? Yeah.
Yes. My epidural, I mean, I got them both times, but this time was so uncomfortable because I was so itchy. I could not.
Itchy?
I was so itchy. You've got to ask him about that.
Okay.
It was awful. I just could not. I'm like, oof, it was bad. But they said because there's opioids in it.
Yeah. A lot of people get freaked out at that.
And so I'm like, I could never be a drug addict because I would just be like constantly scratching myself. This is awful.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I don't remember it the first time, but this last time it was, and they were able to give me a medication to help with it. But yeah. I mean, I was scratching I was like almost bleeding because I was so itchy.
Holy moly. How would that take your head out of the idea that there was a baby coming out of you?
I mean, yeah, maybe it was a good distraction. That's true. That is true. That's a nice way to spin zone it.
Yeah, we don't have much time, but I do want to, you know, revisit the fact that it's been 9 years since we were on the show.
Yes.
How do you look back on it now? 9 years. I mean, you and Chris you weren't together long.
No.
But like, do you look back on it fondly still, or?
Some parts.
Yeah.
Some parts I do. I mean, I think there is a lot of PTSD for me. I mean, I'm not even just throwing that out there, you know, casually as a just term, but I really struggled with some parts of it.
Yeah.
But I think that I almost, it was a once in a lifetime opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I miss, you know, being with the girls and the fun times and the opportunities that we got to do really cool things and go cool places, some cool places. but that I do miss, but other parts, I don't think I'm made for TV. So,
well, you did a great job when you were there. Obviously.
Well, thank you. I just, it was
very yourself through and through. And you're always calm seeming.
I was not calm. Are you kidding?
I always thought you seemed calm.
Oh my God. I was not calm. But
well, I wasn't there for the very end of it though. Like I was there for your first half.
Yeah, but you were there for the majority.
No, I was there for literally 1 month and then you were there for an entire other month because you know how that first like, yeah, I got to be like six or whatever you want to call it, six, seventh, eighth. That was the week that I was eliminated. But you got that whole second half of the show is so much longer.
Yeah.
Because your weeks actually become weeks.
Right. Yeah.
Do you look like, how do you look back and think about that engagement moment? Like, do you like think it's crazy that you thought that that would be like your partner
yes.
for life?
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. But I think we're just, I mean, and when I was in it, it was so real, but coming yeah. out of it, we were just in such a bubble, you know? Yeah. So, I'm able to kind of step outside of that bubble, obviously being almost a decade out to be like that. I was completely drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, I really was in my mind. I really did think like, this is it. And, you know, on the outside of it, I'm like, how did I ever think that? It was just not a good match.
Yeah. And then the last question is Dancing with the Stars was a big like part of the ending. Like you guys would have ended either way, but
we
Dancing
would have
with
ended
the Stars.
It either way, but I think yeah. that sped it up.
So advice to Charity and Daughton and any other bachelor couples that partake in that experience?
No. I think it's hard coming straight off the show and going right into that. You know, you look at Caitlin, who she was had more of an established relationship going into it. I think that's better than, I guess for me at that time, how I felt, I remember this so vividly, is that I had just spent however many months on a show competing with other women mm-hmm. to get this guy's attention. And you finally get to where you can be out in public. And I felt like that's what I was continuing to do with Dancing with the Stars, is that it yeah. was just, there was so much time. I felt like I was just competing to get attention. And it was like, mm-hmm. this is not, it was just, it was brutal. It was bad. So I would say for anyone coming off of the show is just to make sure that you make time for each other, because it is very time consuming. It's very demanding, as you know, being on the show and the practices. And I can't imagine having to be in front of a national audience dancing live. I mean, that's stressful.
Me neither. So
it's just crazy. So I get the stress that entails, and you want to practice and like be the best that you can be, but just not to forget about your person.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Whitney, thank you for giving us your time. It is truly precious
thank you
in the situation.
And
with
it's
your
so good
own,
to see your face.
Family.
I'm trying to think of the last time I saw you. Was it Carly's wedding?
Oh my gosh.
Like the last time I saw
person.
You in the
yeah.
flesh.
Yeah, awesome I think then. So. Well, this makes me miss you. And
I
am so grateful for you coming on and
absolutely.
Like just telling us all like the, you know, the intimate details.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy
and
to
I appreciate
do
it.
It.
And hey,
and good luck to you.
Thanks. I might be texting you and being like, listen, should
Please
I worry?
Do. Any questions? You just text me.
All right. Bye.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Bye.
See ya.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's Ben.
And it's Ashley, and we want to let you know that choking is the fourth leading cause of accidental deaths.
LifeVac is the easiest, safest, and only non-invasive choking rescue device that can save the life of your loved one. Visit LifeVac.net and enter promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS to save 20% and secure your home kit today. That's lifevac.net and enter promo code almostfamous. Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. What keeps baby's skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to keep your baby's skin healthy and dry. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. Free and Gentle cleans better without risk of tearing. It's made from 100% plant-based cloth that grips the mess and is 5 times stronger. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.